WNST, Towson, Baltimore. At Baltimore Positive, we are celebrating our 25th anniversary here with 25 stories of glory that really go back to the first game, the Ravens and the Raiders, back on September 1st, 1996. You can find all of that out as we get ready for the Houston Texans, as we get ready for postseason baseball. Luke will be on all of that, but this one's near and dear to my heart, this segment here. We have the 15th anniversary. I can't believe it's been that long. Sometimes it feels like yesterday. Of the beginning of the Brigance Brigade. We've done many things over the years in regard to OJ, who came and sat in my studio as a member of the then CFL Colts that then became the Stallions, that then became something else, and then he became a Raven and a Dolphin and, of course, has been with the Ravens forever. Chanda Brigance joins us now. She is the founder, I would say, unfortunately, of this incredible organization. I know famously of the story. I think I've written in both of my books with Brian Billick about his relationship with OJ, and OJ saying that his diagnosis was a gift. And all these years later, how are you and how is he? And I haven't seen either one of you in a long time since I got thrown out of the castle. But I love you guys, and I hope we're going to promote this soiree. Any soiree with OJ is a soiree I want to be a part of, and you know that.
Well, first of all, I just want to apologize. You got thrown out of the castle. You know, I'm so sorry.
How talk to some people.
Bro, yeah. Someone who's so amazing. How could you get thrown out? Someone who's so amazing. But
my wife wonders the same thing, by the way.
But thank you so much for having me today. I absolutely love being on your show. Thank you so much for making the time to sit and speak with me about our foundation, about how OJ's doing, about what we're doing as a foundation, and then just being here after 15 years. You know, I mean, like you said, it's amazing. Time flies. It waits for no one. But what I can say is that we are so excited and happy about the years that we have had to be able to help people who are living with ALS. So we have been really blessed to be chosen to be the couple to be able to be around to help people who are living with this disease. Would we have chosen it ourselves? No, we would not have. But guess what? Here's where we are. So we're going to go ahead and grab those lemons and make lemonade out of the lemons that we were given. And so, one of those things is, like we say, we founded the foundation to help people who are living with ALS, because as we know, insurance covers very little to none, you know, with equipment and medication and just all the things that is needed to live with this disease. And so OJ and I, you know, once we were diagnosed and we said, hey, what can we do to help someone else? And so that's how we founded the foundation. And here we are 15 years later, still doing that, still helping people. We've helped many, many, many people. We have raised, along with people who have come and helped us and volunteered and been there to support and who have been donors, help us to raise over $1 million, you know, to help people who are living with this disease. And like I said, we're still doing that. We're doing it to the best of our ability. And one of the examples is what we have coming up on Friday, September 29th, our soiree with OJ. So we're going to be celebrating 15 years. We're going to be, you know, celebrating being in the community, helping people who are living with ALS. And of course, we're going to slide in a happy birthday to OJ, because the 29th is his actual birthday date. So we're going to
29 all over again.
Yeah, he wish. But, you know, he's 40 plus, you know. So.
As am I. I think he and I are the same age, actually. John Brigance is here. Brigance Brigade is the way to find them, .org, brigancebrigade.org. So I want to ask you, so 16 years ago he was diagnosed, and I remember this. I mean, Brian was coaching the team, and OJ was doing television and being a part of the liaison with the team. That then later, Ernest Biner was a part of that. Jameel McClain. It's a very special role in the organization to begin with. And he was diagnosed, and obviously you guys wanted to help. But that period of time about what you wanted the Brigance Brigade to be about, from wow, diagnosis to oh my God to well, how are we going to handle this? What, how long will I live? All of those important questions to how are we going to live, to say, all right, we're going to start this foundation. Can you run me through that part of it? Because I know you felt like you needed to do something. how did this thing come about? And then over 15 years, how it's grown. I know you're really proud of it. I know Juice is too.
Well, you know something, it's funny you say that because we were just looking at that a little earlier. You know, when we first received the diagnosis, first of all, we didn't know what it was. We had never really heard of it, didn't know what to think of it. We just didn't have an idea. So like you say, after we do a little research and find out there's no cure for this, oh my God, there's no cure. There's no medication per se that could take it away or anything, you know, and we only knew very few to zero people who have been diagnosed prior to our diagnosis. And so it was a lot going on in our mind, a lot of emotion, a few tears, a little rolling in the floor about what we're going to do. How is this thing going to look? You know, OJ was in his 40s then, if not late 30s. And he's thinking, oh my God, you mean I could be dead within 2 to 5 years? You know, because
and that's what they were saying to you. I mean, it's unbelievably miraculous that 16 years later, you're still here, you're still here, we're all still here. I mean, like, that's a blessing. Let's start. I meant to start the segment with that. You know?
Yes, absolutely. A huge blessing, you know, because again, we were given the diagnosis of, well, you have 2 to 5 years. And we were literally told, start getting your things in order. So, so after being told that, what do you do? What do you do? So finally, you know, OJ and I cleared up our tears. We said, you know what? We prayed, we listened to God, you know, what do we need to do? And God said, you know what? I'm going to use this and use your diagnosis to help others. You know, and that's exactly what has happened. We really do believe that, you know, we have taken this and God has allowed us and he's walked us through these 15 years. Because if it was just OJ and I, this thing would have been messed up a long time ago or not followed through. But because there's a greater power that's directing us and leading us and guiding us and protecting us through this, we've been able to see 15 years after being told to get your affairs in order. Because you have 2 to 5 years. And so to be here still 16 years, you know, I mean, that's just a testimony within itself. But like you say, there were a lot of emotions. You know, you don't know what to do. You don't know anything about this thing. You don't know where to go. You don't know where to turn or who to. And we didn't really want anyone else to feel that way. And that's why we said, let's step in and step out and let people know, hey, this is what we have. This is the diagnosis. And guess what? We want you to know, if you've been diagnosed with it, that we're here with you, for you, as well as them being there for us as well. They're big people who are diagnosed, and their caregivers, they are huge. So they are an encouragement to OJ and I as well. So I think both sides of the table are pulling from one another as far as in support and being there for each other and just knowing that they're not alone.
You know, we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of my wife's leukemia diagnosis the first time and not the second time. That was 8.5 years ago, and she's doing great. She's back to relative full health. She's going to visit her donor in Germany in November. But from my perspective, everything you just talked about, which is confusion, fear, unknown, Googling things, chasing the boogeyman, wondering, you can't be thinking about where the end is. You have to think about where today is.
Right.
And you know, for us in that moment, the first people we reached for a group called There Goes My Hero, you can Google them, gohero.org. That was a group that had been down the pathway, right? Okay. So for you, the minute this happens, did you have that at that point? I mean, even with the Ravens around you and different people around you, I mean, it's named after a baseball player, right? Like, so literally it was known as a sports disease, or it became sort of infamous through sport. And I guess for you guys, that support system, was there a phone call you made and said, let's find someone that's had this? And because the first thing you do is look for information. And thank God for people like you being there for the next group of people, because Lord knows my wife's picked up the phone, you know, every couple of times a year, or someone calls and says, we have leukemia. How do we navigate this? And there's nothing like finding people that have been through it. And that's really what your organization, your first reach. Somebody in my world is diagnosed with your awful disease. The first thing I'm going to say is you gotta, you know, the path, you know what this is like to do this and be a caregiver through this, Chandra.
I mean, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. We had no one that we knew of to pull from, to call on, to reach out for. No, we did not. That's what I'm saying. We rarely even heard of the disease. You know, I mean, we maybe vaguely heard a little the name, but what it all entailed, we didn't know. So when we got the diagnosis is when we learned what we learned, you know, and the rest we had to Google, like you say, and just learn it and figure it out.
The first couple days, right? I mean, the first couple days, it's just sort of like all of it, but then you realize you got to settle in and fight.
Yes, exactly. You hit the nail on the head. You go through all these emotions, like I said, crying and rolling the floor. But eventually, the next day or two, you got to pull yourself together. We pulled ourselves together. We got up. We stood up. We said, okay, God, obviously, this you want us to do something. Obviously, you're getting our attention or whatever. You want us to help or do something or be examples or whatever it is that you're calling us to do. So we immediately had to really dig deep and change our mindset, our mind frame, the way we're thinking about this, like you just said. Pull yourself together and then say, okay, how do we navigate through this? You know, so that moves on to the next step, the next phase. How do we navigate this? What is it we're supposed to do here? What is there for us to figure out or look forward to doing? And so that's where OJ and I were. And that's how the foundation came about, you know, after praying about it and just kind of learning that there are people out there who have this disease, how in the world are they affording $200,000 to $250,000 a year? You know, that's not, you know, something you can just go pick a leaf off the tree and say, okay, I have it. You know, so we begin to think, how can we help people who cannot afford it? You know,
well, more than that, how do you help people who cannot care for themselves, right?
Like cannot
we say
care
caregiver that right. OJ wouldn't survive an hour tonight without care. And
right.
You knew that going in, that level of care. And I remember when my wife was hooked up to tubes and I was her caregiver. My God, the doctors and the team around her, she's a walking miracle. Everyone that ever survives anything like that. But someone in your position where you know the quality of life's going to deteriorate to the point where they're going to need another human there at all times. And knowing you're that human, I mean, I love that you have a caregiver's corner. It should be its own section, you know, add on your website. But can you speak to that a little bit as to not just how taxed you are as the wife and doing all these things, but how many other people around you? Because it's not just you. It can't be. My friend had MS, my dear friend Frank Vanek. His parents were a little older, and I saw the care toward the end of his life that was necessary, and just the chair to move him and the kind of vehicle that it takes to get from point A to point B, even the doctor's appointments. I think of you guys every day. I really do.
Well, thank you so much. You know, to honestly tell you, sometimes I ask myself, how do I get through it? And how do I, you know, how did I find the energy and how do I find the knowledge? Because at the end of the day, I didn't go to school for this, you know.
Right.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. And I think sometimes, you know, that's often forgotten because people see, well, that's your spouse. You should know every and anything about,
listen,
you know.
My wife's diabetic and has had 2 bone marrow transplants. And I honest to God don't understand how they saved her life. I could never explain it to this day. Bags of blood came. She almost died. She sat up. That's all I got. I don't know the science of it because I'm not a doctor. And
right,
I don't know,
right.
Literally.
But you know what? But as being a caregiver, you learn so much along the way. But again, this is not my profession. I didn't go to school for this. I didn't even take a class, let's know, go to school, a full-blown, you know, schooling for it. But I've learned a lot along the way. But at the end of the day, I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a nurse. I'm not even a candy striper, you know? So, you know, so I had to kind of feel my way through this thing, you know, and neither is OJ. He's not a doctor either. But at the end of the day, as a caregiver, we're still there to do what we can. And that's where Shanda's Caregiver Corner comes in at, because I understand those CALS, caregivers of those living with ALS. I understand a lot of them are not doctors and nurses. Some of them are, some of them are, but there are a lot who are not doctors and nurses. And just to let them know that I'm walking the same walk you are. Neither one of us have been trained in this area, but so we understand how challenging it is, because one, we don't know, we're having to take a crash course along the way.
Oh, physically, emotionally, spiritually, along all of that, watching the person you care the most about.
Yes.
Struggle.
Yes. Yeah.
And be struggle. In need.
Yeah. Well, to honestly tell you, Nestor, I think it's on both sides of the table. Both sides are struggling. Both are in need. Both need help. Both. Because when you're the caregiver, it's so much pressure on you to be able to care and give what you can. And you're just like, what? I don't know. Okay. Let me figure it. You know, so it can be a stressful situation. It can be for both, but for what OJ and I have found, you know, our faith keeps us grounded. We come together in our faith and we understand that we have to be patient with one another and we have to pull strength from one another. But we also learn that we have to give each other a pass when we become a little upset or tired, or because we just don't know, we're navigating through this. So we give each other a pass to be human. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say, to be human, you know? So, you know, the frustration will come in, not because you don't want to care for them or you don't love them, it's because you just don't know how to do that. And so you have to learn that along the way. And that's what I have learned. And, you know, with my caregiver corner, that space is for the caregivers to just come together. We can laugh, we cry, we share our experiences with one another. We also will ask each other's advice about how did you address this when you came across that? How did you do this? And, you know, when you needed that. And, you know, we're able to share little tidbit pieces with one another. And it helps so much. It helps so much. You know, they're like, well, how did you travel with them? And what did you do here? And how did you get them on and off? And how did you, just call this number and do that. And they're like, oh my gosh, thank
it's
you.
It's like an information support system is what you guys are, right?
Yeah. And like I said, and we laugh and we cry, and, you know, and sometimes we've had like a yoga class, and it's probably bad to say, but during the yoga class, everybody's asleep because it's just that relaxing. Now, you're not supposed to sleep, but it's just that
I'm going to the wrong yoga classes. We don't do a lot of sleeping in my yoga class, you know,
but we're so tired, and it's not just tired physically, but you get tired mentally and emotionally.
Of course you do. Sure.
You know, so, but at the end of the day, we, you know, our cows love our pals and our pals love our cows. And it's a special bond. It's a special relationship. But like anything else, it takes patience, time, and commitment and consistency. So that's what we try to give on both sides of the table, because each person on both sides of the table have to be mindful and understanding for the other person. So the pal have to be understanding with the cows, and the cows have to be understanding with the pal.
Shanda Brigance is here, Brigance Brigade. I'm going to pull it up if you're watching out on the video side of things as opposed to the audio side of things. The soiree with OJ. Man, I've never missed a soiree. September 29th, 7 to 10. It's going to be down at Arundel Mills Mall area at the Hall at Live Casino. It is the 15th anniversary of the Brigance Brigade Foundation. You can get all of the information at brigancebrigade.org. $40 on the brunch. Tell everybody what the event's all about, because I've been to several of these. I've been to the 5.7s and the runs and the things with drinks in the morning and people running around the city at 9 o'clock. I've seen you guys do a whole bunch of different things. What's this one?
you got to come to the soiree as well. The 5.7 is more family and kids and all that. And we have a good time, like you just said, and, you know, games and all that, and music and running around and all that. That's a festive as well. But the soiree.
I remember the beer. I do remember that at the 5.7. Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Yes.
For some reason, OJ and I just didn't get it. We're like, beer. And our board told us, they say, yeah.
We'll get thirsty people after we run.
Well, but some people specifically want beer because it does something to the body or for the body after running or working out.
They're making that up.
OJ and I didn't know anything about that. OJ and I were like, no, but if that's what the board wants to do, you know, but the soiree is something that's just, it's absolutely on a scale of its own. We come this year, of course, because of it being the anniversary, it's dressy chic.
Really?
Yes, it's dressy.
I just got a new shirt. Maybe it's my chance.
Oh, you got to wear it. You got to come out now. So you really, really do, because this year we're going to do it totally different from previously. Now, previously, they've been very, very good. I mean, prior to COVID, we would at least bring 200 to 300 out because we just had a wingding of a time. And so we're trying to get those numbers back there, you know, and so people can know we're back, you know, out and doing things and all that. But the soiree is, we have a live band. So we have Nightlife Band. They are phenomenal. Shelly and her band are just phenomenal. We're going to have a live auctioneer this year. Normally we have silent, but this year it's going to be live. And normally it's just a social move around thing with different buffet tables, different carving stations, and all different type of yummy food. But this year we're going to sit down and be served. We're going to be served and just kind of cater to and all that with yummy foods and all that. My mouth is watering now because I do know the menu and, you know, nice, beautiful salad, you know, set on table settings and all that. So it's going to be really wonderful. And like I said, the auction items are going to be amazing. And the, like I said, Nightlife Band, we have the live auctioneer. We're going to have a program also. We're going to look at and celebrate a few people in our program. And we're just going to have a good time and just celebrate 15 years. We're going to recognize and celebrate our pals, some of the pals that we have helped and still helping now. And we have a fabulous, wonderful gift, parting gift for everyone as they leave out as well.
Give me one story of someone that's come into your life that you've helped in a specific way that only you guys could have done. Somebody really reached you guys in need and you could provide something for them. I'll give you a story. Okay. My wife, when she was fighting for her life, had a woman in the hospital bed next to her that didn't have the same insurance. And my wife had these patches that kept her from being nauseous.
Yeah.
And she had extra ones because her insurance covered it. We slid, you know what I mean? These crazy things that happen in hospitals that you don't need, but your organization is set up to help anyone. And I would think you said you're honoring pals. Give me some stories where you've helped some people, because I know they're out there, and certainly in this community where I think your name's synonymous with fighting ALS. I think there's anybody that's diagnosed with ALS, probably the caregiver needs to talk to you or someone like you to get some
help. You know what, Nessa, you have described many, many, many of situations for us, because at the end of the day, that's what we do. We raise funds and we grant those funds to pals and their families up to $5,000. And so our biggest need, our largest need, is in-home caregiving. Someone to come in the home and help with personal care, help with getting them dressed, help with, you know, giving them their medication, just help them with their everyday needs at home. And so that's one of our largest needs. And that's what we really help a lot with, because again, insurance is not covering this. So we grant them those funds and they can have a caregiver for like about a month or two, you know, and don't have to pay anything.
The help that provides someone like you. And listen, not everyone's as beautiful and young and strong as you, right? From a caregiver.
Oh, thank you.
I speak to my friend Frank. His parents were older. They got more elderly as he got more sick and he got more heavy, and the equipment, like all of it, just became like a day with caregiving was a blessing to his parents.
Absolutely. So if someone can come in the home and they can get a responsible, reliable, professional caregiver to come into the home and knowledgeable, knowing about ALS or, you know, or some type of knowledge about it, that gives a caregiver like myself or like your friend's parents a break. They can go and, you know, just have some me time, take a nap, relax, or maybe go out and have dinner, or maybe go to a function or event, or just take a little trip or something, you know, if they find a caregiver that can kind of sit with that pals, maybe around the clock for the time that they're gone. But it's very, very necessary. It's very necessary. And then you have some caregivers who are still trying to work and take care of the pals at the same time. And so that also frees them up to be able to go ahead and go to work and concentrate on work. And the pal can set up the caregiving, structure it in whatever way fits the family and fits them. If they need someone to come in for 3 hours, well, they can structure it that way. Or if they need someone to come in for 6 hours or 30 minutes or so, whatever that the structure that they need. So it can be structured in whatever type of way that's needed for the family as a whole in caring for the pals and helping as a caregiver, come in as a caregiver so that the family caregiver can have a break or just get some rest.
Anybody in Baltimore knows her voice. Shanna Brigance has been with the Brigance Brigade from the very beginning and with OJ. And I don't remember the first time I met you. I mean, I was at the Ravens Super Bowl ring party back in 01. And, you know, okay. I know you were at that one. So I know we were in a lot of rooms together. But I mean, I remember Mike Gaffigan and Juice coming into my studio. And they remember it down at the Lord Baltimore Hotel back in 1994, 1995. And
yes.
We're trying to sell this Canadian Football League with these yes. wide fields and these long end zones. And yes. I mean, the Rouge is still a Moulin Rouge to me, you know, but so I try to learn all that. But what a journey you've had. What a warrior you are. You know, our heart to you as always. And I hope you pack them in down at the Live Casino at the Hall down there on the 29th. So it's dinner and there's a brunch as well, correct? Or just a dinner?
No. Well, the dinner, that's what I'm saying. Because of 15 years, we're doing it big this year. We're doing something we never did before. So the whole soiree is going to look different. Okay. And so that's on Friday. Then the next day, Saturday, we have the brunch. So we have the event. We offer lodging in a $400 to $500 room for about two something. So you'll have a lodging overnight. You get up, come down to the David's Cafe. It's a nice restaurant, and we're just going to have a nice casual social brunch the next morning, Saturday morning.
All right, tell everybody how Juice is doing. Give me a little OJ update for everybody. You know, I got to say something that's going to make him smile because I know he's going to watch this segment. So
I know, right? OJ's doing wonderful. First of all, whenever I do any interview, he always sends his hello. He always sends his love, and he always sends his big smile. We all know about that smile, right?
So I miss him talking to me on a little machine because I come by, and you know me, I'm fast and fast. But the minute OJ comes up, I got to have patience.
You
and
do.
That, you know, so I've it's been a gift to me as well to just sort of shut the door in the little office there and have him say, hello, how are you? And I'm
yes.
like, oh, good, Juice. I'm fine, buddy.
He's doing good. He's a matter of fact, as we speak, he's on his computer now. So that's his form of communication. You know, we even help pals to get a speaking device like that too. Whatever it is.
That thing he does with his eyes, it's yes. crazy. That thing's yes. crazy.
Yes, he communicates with his eyes as well. So, you know, along the years, throughout the year, like I said, we've had 16 years to develop some type of routine. So along the years, we've developed, you know, those routines. I mean, one blink is no, two blinks is yes.
There you go. Perfect.
You know, so we know how to pretty much, you know, communicate with and without the computer. But of course, with the computer, it's a lot better for us. But we'd love for everyone to come out, say hello to us, see us at the soiree on Friday, September 29th. Doors open at 6:15 down at the Hall at Live in Arundo Mills. We're going to have a great time. It's for a perfectly good cause. The money from the ticket sales and from the auction is going to, again, help those who are living with ALS, like you and I were talking about. Get a bundle, because a bundle takes care of your event ticket on Friday. It takes care of your deluxe room, and it takes care of your brunch on Saturday morning. So get a bundle. If you can't get a bundle, purchase a table. If you can't purchase a table, well, then just purchase a single ticket. But be there.
And you know what's even better? The Ravens will be 3-0 by then, right? So they beat the Texans, then they beat Cincinnati, then they beat the Colts, of course. So they'll be coming off a Colt victory, which feels even better for everybody here. And that is Browns weekend. So there you have it. September 29th. It is a Friday night. We hope that everybody gets down and supports our friends. BrigantsBrigade.org, the way to do that. And have the soiree with OJ on Friday the 29th. That'll finish off the month of September right before a victory. Give my best to the Juice. Tell him I miss him out at the castle. Tell him I'm going to be writing some readings for him to be reading, and he can tell him he can still email me. Tell him I'm still here.
I will. I'll let him know. And it's one thing I also want to say, the Lieutenant Governor will be there as well at the soiree, and she's going to be our impact speaker. Yes. Lieutenant Governor. Yes. And some of Who's Who is going to be in the room as well.
I like Aruna Miller a whole lot. I saw her a couple weeks ago down in down at the beach. She owes me a crab cake, so I got to get up with her. She doesn't eat crab, but she owes me a crab cake. She always says that when she sees me. So,
will you be there on Friday, Nestor?
I'm hoping to make it. I'm trying to figure out a calendar event with my wife, but I'm going to get back with you on that, I promise.
Okay,
you
all right.
Can't put me on a spot like that. Because if it's yes, it's yes. If it's maybe, I got to say maybe. Right now, it's a maybe. That's all. Right. I'm working on it. I'm working on scheduling here, you know. Yeah. Don't be one of me. You know this. Thank God for that, right?
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate this time. I had a great time. I love this. I love it.
We aims to please in that way. We that way we get repeat customers. Shanta Brigance joins us here on behalf of OJ and on behalf of everybody at Brigance Brigade. I want to thank Nancy and the folks at Maroon for putting this together as well. Just go out to BrigadeBrigance.org, learn more about everything they're doing. The Maryland Lottery, I was going to hold up the 50th anniversary tickets, but we're in the Ravens season, and I don't have the Ravens scratch-offs just yet. I'm working on that through Labor Day. Ravens scratch-offs, we will have them on the 15th at Fadley's. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We'll be there in the morning with Coppin State President Dr. Anthony Jenkins, as well as my old pal Larry Stewart, who's the new head coach of the Eagles. We, of course, have been the flagship for Coppin State for about a decade now. Big thanks to Ruffin on that. So that's going to happen on the 15th at Fadley's. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90 Nation. If you need some new windows, do what I did last year. Get yourself some windows. And our friends at Jiffy Lube, we have new sponsorship. Jiffy Lube as well, sponsoring the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, having those wise conversations here. We are BaltimorePositive.com.